to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
You're listening to The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted that you have joined the broadcast today. We look forward to you jumping on board, joining in the dialogue and discussion as we face the issues today. The issue we're facing today, one that I believe is should be prominent on the minds and the hearts of each and every one of us in the season in which we're now living. We're living in that Passion Week, the last week of the Lord Jesus Christ on the face of the earth before he was crucified, buried, rose again on the third day. We're asking the question today, what if Jesus had not risen? What if there'd been no resurrection? What would be the end results? Where would we be today? Ladies and gentlemen, as we celebrate this most holy season, this time of the year when we are anticipating and looking forward to what we refer to as Resurrection Sunday, we still live in an unbelieving society. We still live in a time, ladies and gentlemen, when multitudes, they simply do not believe that Jesus Christ is 100% God and 100% man. I stand amazed, ladies and gentlemen, at the number of people who still believe that Jesus was simply a good man, a good teacher, a good example to follow. Some today that claim to be Christians still doubt whether or not Jesus Christ was 100% God and yet 100% man. Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, in his humanity, he grew tired, he thirsted, he wept, he cried, and he died. But listen, the good news is he was buried on the third day, he rose again. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, the very focus point is the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're talking about that today, this resurrection season, this Easter season. We pray that you're tuned in. And if you have questions in regard to the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. We'd love to talk with you about that. We have today with us Dr. Glenn Davis, Dr. Neil Phelps. We're thankful for these two men for their surrender to the Lord and for their service in preaching and teaching and carrying out the Word of God. But ladies and gentlemen, as we think about this subject today, we're going to take a moment or two for our monologue. After the monologue, we'll open our telephone lines and invite you to call in. And after our monologue, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Let me remind you, as I historically do each and every day on this broadcast, as we face the issues, we do so based on the truth book, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8:31-32, said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, there's a declaratory statement made about the word of God. The Bible says, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth of the word of God, according to Psalms 117 and verse 2, that endures forever. Forever. How long is forever? It is forever. And yet we are in a society today where multitudes disbelieve the truth, reject the truth. We're in the society that was spoken of by the secularist George Orwell in his dystopian novel entitled 1984. By the way, it was published in the late 40s. And in part, Orwell made this statement: the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We find that to be factually true today, if I may say so. we live in a society where there's a bifurcation of truth. Some say that you can take a half-truth, but ladies and gentlemen, a half-truth makes a whole lie. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint. Headline warns, DeMint says America's decline is linked to the death of truth. Let me read you a little brief paragraph in part of what DeMint said. He says, truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity in our nation. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, according to the latest survey, 55% of the millennials make the statement that there's no absolute truth. In fact, that same group, the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, say that each person determines his or her own version of truth. That could explain why there is such a dissension and a division and a disarray in relationship to what is happening in the Beltway in Washington today. That could explain why there's such a variety of beliefs about the Christian belief about church dogma, denominational dogma, and what is truth. It's because the deviation from the truth book, the Word of God. Now, I'm not talking about the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of, quote, so-called versions of the Bible, where it's good for wallpaper on a outhouse, if I can use that illustration, but not good for edification of the mind and heart of an individual. It's the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God that is the truth book. It was the former a theologian and church reformer of the 15th century that made this statement. Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth. And that's what we do each and every day on this broadcast, standing for the truth, defending the truth, listening to and asking you to learn the truth. By the way, you won't find truth on the Communist Network News. You won't find truth on most of the radio television stations today. This is the reason it's so vital for us to listen to, learn, and live the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment leadership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. About to give you a wrong number. 11291. That's 11291. Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark, an identifier, on the campus of Tools for Time. There's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole is the U.S. flag, Old Glory, flowing 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, as we discuss a very, very pertinent, important, vital issue today. Don't know if you've ever considered it. Have you ever considered the fact that if Jesus Christ had not risen from the grave, he'd be no different than Buddha, Muhammad, and any of the other false gods of yesteryear? Buddha died and he's still in the grave. Muhammad died, he's still dead. Jesus Christ died, but he rose again. And so today we serve a risen Savior. Jesus Christ is alive. But we want to take a little reverse approach to that and ponder some thoughts. If Jesus Christ had never risen, what would the world be like? What would it be like today? Would we have churches? Would there be Christianity? What are some of the false theories about the resurrection? There's about seven different false theories that multitudes hang on to today. Why is it, ladies and gentlemen, that according to the Barna Report, some 92% of Americans say they believe that Jesus Christ was a human being that lived and died? But only 56%, ladies and gentlemen, believe that he was divine, that he was God come into flesh. And only 6% of the so-called Christian adults in America today, only 6% hold a biblical worldview. And those that are the millennials that say they're Christians, only 4% have a biblical worldview. out of that 4% of the millennials that claim to have a biblical worldview, 57% of that 4% believes that it's okay to lie, that it's okay to have a homosexual relationship, believe that it's okay to use drugs. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're looking at a major, major, major issue in America today that causes it to be vital for us to understand who Jesus Christ is, why Jesus Christ came, why he died, and that he, in fact, rose again from the grave. He's alive today. We're going to talk about that. Dr. Davis, Dr. Phelps, we're thankful that you're here. Dr. Davis, take just a moment. We don't need to go into details at this point, but when we celebrate Easter, Resurrection Sunday, what does it mean to you personally? What should it mean to individuals listening today? Then I want Dr. Phelps to do the same thing. What is the Resurrection Sunday, Easter celebration? What does it mean personally, and what should it mean to others?
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood, for again inviting me to be here on today. Thank God for allowing me, amen, to get up out of the bed this morning.
Amen.
It wasn't the alarm clock, amen, but it was the finger of God, amen, right. The grace and mercy. And I'm grateful for that, amen, on today.
Right.
Amen. Say good morning to my bride of 39 years, my friends, amen, Eric and Tina, amen, who are listening today. Certainly, amen, we hope and pray that you will listen closely, amen, because there are very many things that's going to come from this research and information that we want to share with you today concerning the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And it's real to me. Mm-hmm. Let me say that first starting off. It's real. It's not a holiday. It's not a time to sit down and eat Easter eggs. It's not a time to eat jelly beans and celebrate the Easter bunny. I'm celebrating. I'm celebrating a risen Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Because of him. I don't have religion, but I have a relationship.
Amen.
Amen.
He is the key that holds, let me say, the chief cornerstone, because that's what the scripture says.
Right.
He's the chief cornerstone that holds salvation together.
Amen.
Let's make sure we let the people know on today, religion does not save you, but salvation and a relationship with Christ Jesus is key to your being able to enter into God's kingdom.
Amen.
So that's what it means to me on today. I'm celebrating a Savior who was once dead, but because he's alive, amen, I now have a relationship with, amen, my Lord and Savior. Amen. He is my Lord.
Amen.
And Savior. That's what Mary said when she went to the garden and supposing him to be the garden and he spoke to her. She said, Rabboni, which is to say, Master, my Savior.
That's right.
That's, amen, what ignites the fire in my soul on today that make me want to continue to share the same message on today.
Amen. Dr. Phelps, speak to that for a moment.
I'm so glad that we can celebrate the resurrection of Christ. His resurrection provides for us the hope of a resurrection too. I'm so thankful that I have this hope. It's called the blessed hope.
Amen.
He rose the third day. The resurrection of Christ gives us hope for the future, and we need to realize that only believing Christians have a living hope today. We live in hope of the resurrection of life, and his resurrection, according to the Apostle Peter, assures us of an inheritance in heaven, and for there we have a new home prepared for us. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. So this hope means that we have faith in the future tense. We look for the Lord to come again to receive us into heaven. And by the way, I would like to suggest we must realize that the resurrection of life may happen today.
Amen.
Maybe
amen.
Today.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Perhaps today. That's the reason I always say, ladies and gentlemen, we need to keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Luke 21:28 reminds us of that. Let's take one other thought before we open our lines for our callers. Dr. Phelps, if you would, take a moment and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and read for us, because this will be pretty much the track that we run on. Read for our listeners' edification. 1 Corinthians 15, reading with verse 12 and through about verse 23.
12 through 23.
Right. 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 23.
Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we're found false witnesses of God, because we've testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not.
It is a fact, according to the scripture, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And the Bible is saying there in that text, and then Dr. Davis speak to that for a moment. 1 Corinthians 15, 14, the Bible is very, very clear. If Jesus has not risen from the dead, our preaching would be in vain. What does that mean?
Well, Dr. Youngblood will be essentially talking loud but saying nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Our words would be empty. Our lives would be empty. And last but not least, your soul would be empty,
mm-hmm.
because there would be no Holy Spirit to dwell on the inside. If it had not been for Christ being raised from the dead, we wouldn't even have the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
So all of this
would be
vain.
He said Jesus reminds us when he's going that he would send another comforter.
Amen.
Just like him. That would be
amen. And we'd be on our way to a devil's hell.
You got it.
Amen.
I'll make one final little footnote to that, and then we'll open our lines. I'm looking at a little article. It's from R.A. Torrey. R.A. Torrey was an old theological writer of yesteryear. He said, and I quote, "While the literal bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of Christian doctrine, it is also the Gibraltar of Christian evidence and the Waterloo of infidelity and rationalism." Further, Torrey said this, "The doctrine of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is central to the Christian faith, not peripheral. To deny it is to remove the keystone of the arch of Christianity."
Amen.
Well stated.
Amen.
I'm thankful for that. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes. Good morning, people, brothers.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes. I just want to make a couple of statements, and just let me know if I'm right or wrong. Okay. When I used to celebrate Easter when I was young with the bunny rabbits and the eggs and all that, then when I got older and I found out that Constantine, when he turned Rome into the capital of the Christianity, and when they call what they call Easter now, I said, okay. And then I found out about the Jewish people, and they were celebrating Passover. So I would say Passover. But then I found out, okay, Jesus was our Passover. Then now I call it Resurrection Sunday. I was just in the store, and everybody I said, "You have a blessed Resurrection Sunday." They were looking at me like, "Huh?"
you're exactly right, Kenneth. One of the things that you're touching on is so vital for us to understand. There are multitudes today that do not recognize and understand. In fact, multitudes of some of the modern dogmas and denominational philosophies, I feel that somehow, some way, we've got to celebrate Passover because that's what Jesus did. In Jesus' last Passover with his disciples, he inaugurated, he instituted, he set up the Lord's Supper. When we participate in the Lord's Supper, we're reflecting back, because the scripture says, "Do this in remembrance of me." We're reflecting back on the fact that Jesus literally, philosophically, theologically, doctrinally, biblically, became the Passover lamb, where he shed his rich red royal blood on Calvary's cross for your sins and for mine. It is a matter of fact that the Passover celebration at that last Passover, the institutionalization of the Lord's Supper was set up. We had the privilege of celebrating that Lord's Supper today, recognizing his death, burial, resurrection, and soon coming again. Dr. Phelps, how do you respond to Kenneth's statement? Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Paul was trying to tell the Judaizers, I think, if I'm not right, let me know, when he was going to, because it's, we are Gentiles, and he's going to the Gentiles to let them know you don't have to keep the Jewish law, you don't have to keep the Mosaic law. Am I right or wrong?
Well, Jesus, let's back up even further than that. Matthew 5:17, Jesus says, think not that I've come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. The word destroy in the Greek text is to abrogate, to abridge, to change, to nullify. Jesus says, I didn't come into the world to nullify, change, abridge, circumvent, or to in any way destroy the law. I'm the fulfillment of it. So Jesus fulfills every aspect of the law. That doesn't mean that we cast the law away. There's some today that say that, you know, we are saved by grace, but we live by the Torah. We do not. We live by faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, we need to place our faith, trust, and confidence in that finished work on Calvary's cross through Jesus Christ. In fact, when you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4, where the Apostle Paul gives a very brief summary of the gospel. The summary of the gospel is the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Dr. Phelps, what do you say?
Well, the Bible does tell us that Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
Yes.
Now, that means that Jesus has come to fulfill the law. And one of the things that I have learned is that God had a plan. And his plan was for Jesus to come into our world. He became flesh for us. And by his incarnation, Jesus then fulfilled the Emmanuel promise of the Bible. When God had mentioned the word Emmanuel in the book of Isaiah, and it's recorded for us also in Isaiah and in Matthew chapter 1. There we find that that's referring to Jesus. Jesus came to be the fulfiller of all that God had in mind for a Savior.
Amen. That's right.
Absolutely. And in him, he fulfills the promises. He is the Messiah. He came to be the Lamb of God. He laid down his life for us. And God had in mind to raise him from the dead. He's the great shepherd who rose from the dead and is set down at the right hand of God. He's exalted in heaven. And he's coming again for us. He's our Redeemer.
Yes.
So Jesus is the one. He is the star upon the stage of God's redemptive plan.
Amen. Absolutely. Kenneth, brother, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you. And I'll say at this point, we pray that you and your family have a wonderful resurrection celebration as we celebrate Easter, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for your call. Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, I want you each one to respond to this. As we think about the Resurrection Sunday, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am amazed, I am appalled, I am set back somewhat. I've been listening to online and some on the radio different broadcasts where churches in this city, and I believe probably perhaps around the nation, are promoting one church, promoting the fact that on Resurrection Sunday, they're going to have 2,000 eggs for the kids to go out and do egg hunts. 2,000 eggs for egg hunts. And then those that will promote the Easter Bunny, or as Dr. Davis alluded to a little earlier, the jelly beans, the eggs, the Easter egg hunts, and the bunny rabbits. What do you think about churches promoting that for Easter, for Resurrection Sunday? Each of you speak to that.
Well, in my dissertation that I wrote here concerning world religions and cults, I also wrote a section in there called Pagan Christianity.
Yes.
That is what it is called, because Easter was really a pagan holiday that the pagans, the unbelievers, the heathens, in other words, celebrated by worshiping false gods. And when you look at the rabbit represented the goddess of fertility to the people who were doing that worship during that particular time. Now, let's go back, because some Christians try to put the cart ahead of the horse. Yes, the word Easter appears in the Bible one time. And I believe that's around Acts chapter 12 and somewhere around verse 4.
Verse 4.
Somewhere out in there. That they were intended to kill Peter after Easter.
That was the Passover they were referring to.
But let's make sure we understand something. And here's where it resounds and resonates deep down in my soul so much. It echoes very loud to me. If we look at the first century Christians, those who worshiped Christ after his resurrection, those who were eyewitnesses of his resurrection, those who were there walking with him throughout the course of his ministry and saw him crucified on the cross, and then they witnessed him being raised from the dead because he spoke with them in person after their death, after his death. So now, when we consider all of that, and that great cloud of witnesses that Hebrews chapter 12 tells us about, then we need to realize we might have gotten off on the wrong foot somewhere if that's what we'll celebrate. You can't be a true confessing Christian and celebrate such things and turn around and say that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior.
That's right.
You've got your values mixed up.
Absolutely. So, Dr. Phelps, what do you think has promulgated such a declension in the celebration of Jesus' resurrection? What, in your mind, has brought this about where that is accepted, embraced, promulgated in churches today, Christian churches, pushing the Easter bunny, pushing the Easter egg hunts, and the all of this that is false, phony, and pagan? What, in your opinion, brought that about?
I appreciated what Dr. Davis just said, because he pretty well covered the things that we should talk about. But what is happening in churches, and has happened down through the century, is that they have adopted pagan celebrations and made them Christian celebrations. But those are not scriptural. They're not in the Bible.
Right.
I don't read anything in the first four books of the Bible, the Gospels, that we're ever told to do such things. It's not. It has no relevance to the resurrection of Christ at all.
None whatsoever. Again, it goes back to paganism. And again, I'm astounded. I'm amazed. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening, you're a pastor, you're a preacher, you're a teacher, you're a deacon, Sunday school teacher in your church, and that's practiced, that is promoted, promulgated, and pushed, shame on you and that denomination of church that does that. You might disagree with me. You might get a little upset. That's okay. But it's an impossibility to worship the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in a pagan fashion as Easter eggs, Easter egg hunts, Easter bunnies, and all of these things that have nothing to do with the resurrection. As Dr. Phelps just said, it's not found any place in the Scripture. The Scripture is vacuous, void, empty of any reference or any recommendation or any celebration of that type Easter.
And Dr. Youngblood, we all did a lot of things as kids. But Paul said, when I was a child, I thought like a child, I spoke like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things.
That's right.
That's what we need to do. We need to separate that, because they're childish things. They're fantasies. And we don't want people to get mixed up and messed up with that, because fantasies will take you to hell if you're not careful.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today. What if Jesus had not risen? We in America today, I think for the most part, practicing the vacuous void fact of the resurrection of Jesus without recognizing and understanding that that's being done. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about that further. But listen, in the 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 and following text, not only if Jesus had not risen, our preaching would be in vain, our faith would be worthless, vacuous, and void. If Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, if there's no resurrection, then we have nothing to place our faith and trust and hope in. It is vacuous, it is void, and the Scripture says we're still dead in our trespasses and sins. So, ladies and gentlemen, the point that I want us to understand is we need to rejoice in the recognition and the realization that Jesus Christ died, he was buried, but on the third day he rose again. Up from the grave, he arose a victor over his foes, as the old song goes. I'm thankful for that. And we need to make sure that we understand that salvation is through Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. We'll be right back, right after the top of the hour news.
With Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.